Kitchener is going to be with us this coming Wednesday night. And those of you who remember Brother John Reisinger, we're going to have some more honey. And he's a delight to be around in the Word of God. And next Lord's Day, our brother DeWitt Jones from Dr. Jones, from Bob Jones University, not a relative, though, of the Jones clan that has the university. The university is named from, but Dr. DeWitt is a Burlington lad, and he has done well, and he has a great message for God. And he's going to be with you next Lord's Day in the ministry of the Word of God. So keep these things in mind. We're in Matthew chapter 7. We're dealing still with the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to read, beginning at verse 13. However, the scripture we're studying today begins at verse 15. But since there's such a close relation to them, and our Lord's continuous teaching, we must keep it all in its context. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." From those two verses, I pointed out that among adults, those who have reached what we call the age of accountability, there are few that enter the straight gate and walk the narrow way in comparison to the many that are enter at the broad gate or the wide gate and are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And it's good to keep that before you. And I believe our Lord is speaking about adults in this passage. However, when we come to verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we bow before you. And we thank you that the entrance of thy word giveth light. And the psalmist could say, as he meditated upon that gracious work of thyself in deliverance in Psalm 34, he said, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." And any of us who have fled for refuge to thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus, we found light, for he said, "I am the light of the world." And we have never been ashamed because of that faith and trust that was placed in him. Now we look to thee and ask thee to bless thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen. In the verses that are before us, our Lord has one objective. He has one great principle. And the great principle of our Lord is entering in at the straight gate. It's so easy to naturally just drift with a crowd and be on the broad road that leads to destruction. It is that straight gate and the narrow way which leads to life. Now, previously, 2 weeks ago, on Lord's Day morning, we were occupied with a command to enter. Our Lord says, "Enter ye in," and that is a command. And it's a command that comes to all men. But you take him seriously. They prefer the broad gate, the wide gate, and the broad road to the straight gate and the narrow way. That's what they prefer. There are few who find it, according to the words of our Lord. Now we come to the hindrances that are before those who would enter in at the straight gate. There are hindrances. There are dangers for all who attempt to enter in at the straight gate. So our Lord in verse 15, he says, "Beware. Beware of false prophets." The moment that you decide to trust Christ, The moment that you decide that from the heart you're going to believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess Christ to salvation, you'll be set by many problems. And one of them is pride. Pride that says, oh, that everybody thinks you're all right. And if you admit that you're all wrong and you need the Savior. You see, there are many hindrances that come up, and one in particular, there's always a presence of false prophets. The fact that our Lord speaks of the few and the many in relation to the two gates and the two ways should cause us to examine ourselves. Have I really entered in? Or am I just kidding myself about this? Our Lord commanded me to enter. And not only that, He now tells me, beware of false prophets. This is very important. Our Lord continues this theme until the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It is a terrible warning of judgment. We didn't read to the end of the chapter. But if you read all the way to the end, our Lord ends the Sermon on the Mount with a great illustration of two houses. And we can see immediately when we read the illustration of the house that's built on the sand and the house that is built on a good foundation, the rock, who is Christ, that can weather the storms of time. The storms of time can be weathered because we're built upon a rock. This is a terrible warning that our Lord gives concerning judgment. Judgment is coming. And our Lord, in honesty to men, He says, beware of false prophets. A failure to note the warnings brings many problems. I don't know how many people have read through the Old Testament. But when you come to a place to a section of the Old Testament, like the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a great man. He doesn't look like much when you read the prophecy of Jeremiah. He had a lot of problems. He wanted to marry, and God told him, don't take a wife in this place. All God held out before Jeremiah was the doom of Jerusalem. The city is going to be taken into captivity. And Jeremiah, because of his faithfulness in announcing the promises of God, he was thrown in the pit. He was persecuted. He was fed with prisoner's rations. He had one problem after another. And he relates a number of these to God. But there's one thing we can say about Jeremiah. The best thing about Jeremiah is written in the New Testament. And never forget it. You know where it is? One day our Lord had His disciples together in Matthew 16, and He said to them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered Him. They said, some think you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead, or Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, the nicest thing written about Jeremiah was that he was like Christ. Oh, that we could be like him. But you see, to be like Christ means that doesn't mean that you're going to have smooth sailing down every little lake and river. It means there are going to be problems. And you can't understand the position of false prophets until you know something of what God had to say about them, especially through Jeremiah the prophet. And I want you to turn with me to the prophecy of Jeremiah for just a moment to get a background to what I have to say in a few moments. So I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 5, first of all. Jeremiah chapter 5, and I want to read beginning at verse 30, and I want to read verse 31. Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31, where we read, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Notice that passage. The prophets prophesy falsely. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. And He's warning them. Look what Jeremiah had to put up with. Here he was, a man receiving a message from God. And he proclaimed the message of God, but constantly the false prophets were contradicting everything that he said. I'd like you to turn over to chapter 14 and verse 14. Again on the subject of the false prophets, where we read, then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Notice what God says about the false prophets. He said, I didn't send them. I didn't call them. I never spoke through them. They're false. Now we move on to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And we begin our reading again at verse 14. Where he says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. The problem with the false prophets was, they talked in heart out of their own imagination instead of proclaiming the word of the Lord. Our God says here, through the language of our blessed Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What's wrong? What are the dangers? I'd like to point out three very quickly. First, you have the problem of a light and superficial evangelism. A light and superficial evangelism. Not really working to make sure that a person is truly born of God. But the preaching is light. And Ha said, there's a second problem that the false prophets present. There's a lack of holiness and sanctified living. You can be saved and live any way you like. And that's very popular today with the easy believism of our day. You can live any way you like. Our Lord says different. Our Lord says when a person is saved, you receive a new heart. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a new heart. A new heart that God gives. And therefore, that new heart has new desires, and therefore, sanctified and holy living. And we must ever remember that God's eye is upon us, and we are moving toward the time when we're going to be stripped of everything, and we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. I'd like to tell you a story. When I moved to Burlington back in 1966, I was here about a year and I started having Bible classes. Had one on a Tuesday morning and on a Wednesday morning and others besides. I remember a very nice lady who was in the Tuesday class, and one day she said something that I didn't ask her to say anything, but this is what she said. I sat there with my mouth just ready to drop open. It may have even dropped open. And she said, I want to tell you something. I have cancer. And she said, I was in the hospital to have an operation, and I called for my pastor, and he came. And she said, I said to him, I need some help. I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Those were basically her words to him. And he stumbled, he said, and he put his hat on, he said, you know, I'm late for a golf game. And he left the room. And he said a few minutes later, they come in, into the room, and they took, you know how they, when you're going for surgery, what for gown they put on you in the hospital. She said, they took my gown from me and put one of those hospital gowns on me. And then they took my wedding band off. You know, they take your rings off your hands. And she said, here is a last vestige I had that united me with my husband and my family. And she said, I felt so alone. She said, I turned to the wall and I cried out to God. A God heard me. Oh, my friend, if you've never cried out to God, there is such a thing as false prophets, you know. And they come in sheep's clothing. They can say nice words to you under the right circumstances, but you know them by their fruits, is what our Lord said. And the estimate of that woman, of that preacher, was that he was a false prophet. He had no message. He had no message. Beware of false prophets. Now, I want to deal with two things very quickly this morning. First of all, I want to deal with the garments of the false prophet. Our Lord does. He said, beware of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing. What our Lord says is this. The false prophet comes dressed as a shepherd. He has the clothing of the sheep upon him. You see, the shepherd lived from the wool of the sheep, and therefore he had the sheep's coat. Peter, in his second epistle, he speaks of them in the opening verse, and it's a difficult passage, 2 Peter chapter 2, if you've never read it. Oh, it's a chapter that deals with judgment, and he says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. And it's a warning when you get to the little epistle of Jude. Jude says, there are certain men who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They've crept in, and false prophets have crept in among the people of God. And God's word says, enter in at the straight gate. There are few to find it in comparison to the many who are on the broad road. And if you decide to go in, imagine yourself standing by the straight gate. And you realize the straightness of it, the demands of it. Our Lord in the 14th of Luke, he said, if any man will come after me, let him sit down and count the cost. It's going to cost something if you take up your cross and follow me. Sit down and count the cost. And there you are, standing by the straight gate. It's the greatest decision you ever make in life. 40 years ago today, I made the second greatest decision in my life. But this is the first one. The first was when I trusted Christ, and it was the greatest. There's nothing greater than this in your life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? You're standing by the straight gate in your thought life. Every day as you go to work, every night as you come home, as you lie on your bed, you're thinking, if I died, where would my soul be? Am I the Lord's or am I not? And in this, what we call conviction of sin, you're standing by the straight gate. And some well-meaning person, you know, in their sheep's clothing, I don't know if they're too well-meaning, to be honest with you. They come up and they say, you're all right. You don't need to worry about these things. God is a God of love. That's exactly what they did in the days of Jeremiah. Our Lord says about the false prophets through Jeremiah, he says, they have hurt the daughter of my people, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. And a man who says to you that you're all right if you're all wrong is a liar of the worst kind. I hate to be so blunt, but I have to be faithful, friend. 2 times in my life, I've been at a funeral. Once I took part with a preacher who did this, and another time I was there as a listener, where he told everybody in the audience they were forgiven. And I want to tell you, he never gave a basis, or had a basis, a foundation, for what he said. Oh, my friend, if I told you you were all right when you're on the road to a lost eternity, on the road to hell, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, if I told you you're all right when you're all wrong, I'm a liar of the worst kind. You see, friend, we have to look and take the word of our Lord very seriously. You see, now these fellows that come around as a false prophet, it seems they say the right things. You know why? They say what you're listening for. They're telling you what you want them to say. You know, I tell myself when I look in the mirror, you know, Phil, you're a pretty nice guy. The only thing that most people know me too well. And we like when people tell us we're a nice fellow. But God doesn't say that. God looks at me and he says, Phil Bumberger, you're a sinner. And you're lost and you need to be saved. And he says that to you. Oh, I thank God for that day that I really learned that truth. And I trusted Christ. I remember a woman in the Mevin class when it was held at the Gospel Chapel. She had been coming for a long time. And that morning she came up to me. We were teaching Romans chapter 9, one of the most difficult chapters in the Bible. Romans 9, on the doctrine of election. She came up to me and she was shaking all over. She said, I got to settle it today. That's good. That's good. And she did. She said, a year ago or more when I started this class, you were in Romans 3. And she said, I hated you. But she said, kept coming back, you know. She said, I learned that I was lost. I said, you didn't believe it till the day. She didn't really believe it till the day. She said, I learned that I was lost, that I was under condemnation, the condemnation of God. But then she told me something else. She said, you know, she said, I'm a churchgoer. And this may sound strange, but I was on the pulpit committee a number of times in church. And she said, I always had one question for the preacher. And depending how he answered this question, I gave my yes as to whether he should be the preacher. I said, well, what was the question? She said, I said to him, what do you tell somebody who doesn't feel they're bad enough to go to hell and they're not good enough to go to heaven? But she said, you know, the first time I listened to you, I thought I was good. But I learned that I was not good enough for God. And I was bad enough to go to hell. And that's true of every person in Adam's family, friends. Have you acknowledged that? Beware of false prophets. False prophets come in sheep's clothing. They pat you on the back. They talk about the love of Christ. They make a big fuss over you. But to them, there is no such thing as a straight gate. And there's no such thing as a narrow way. You can live any way you like. God says the opposite. This is what our Lord is saying here in the passage. You see, this person is wrong both in his teaching and he's wrong in his life. For the Lord goes on to say you can tell them by their, and he likens them to a tree. And the fruit that you get from the tree. Now, no one would ever be deceived if one came right out and denied the truth of the gospel. You see, if I came and denied the truth of the gospel, I wouldn't delude anybody. I wouldn't fool anybody. But if I put on a good act and act pious and tell people what they want to hear and don't announce the truth of the judgment of God and don't announce and press that Jesus Christ is the only way, and it's only through his death on the cross that men are saved. You see, that's when the problems begin. For now you're cutting across the will of man, and the will of man thinks that man is pretty good in himself. And we're living in a do-it-yourself generation. But there's one of these areas that you can't do yourself. You can't save yourself. Salvation by man for man is impossible. And that was last week's message by Brother Tom Taylor at this very hour. It's an impossibility with man. Only God can save. Enter in at the straight gate. And our Lord says, I am the gate. Come in. Now, we want to deal secondly with the subtlety of the false prophets. The subtlety of them. Now I have more to say about the subtlety of them than I had to say about the clothing of them. Now, if you're looking at your watch, isn't that awful? Oh, that's awful. To look at your watch at a time like this. But now notice, we've got to define our terms again. what do we exactly mean when we talk about the straight gate? And that there is nothing, and what do we mean when we say there is nothing offensive in the preaching of the false prophets? In the Old Testament, there was nothing offensive. They said Jeremiah's wrong with his gloom and doom message. God's not going to judge us. You see, but our Lord is leading in one direction in the Sermon on the Mount to the conclusion. The conclusion are two houses. And the two houses are pictures of two people. And because they don't have a foundation, the house built on the sand is going to perish in the waters of judgment and in the storm of judgment, but the house built upon the rock is going to stand. My friend, the subtlety of this is, in Jeremiah's day they said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And the preacher who tells a great audience that they're all forgiven, nothing to worry about, is saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because that preacher's sermon was about as dead as the corpse. It was deader than the corpse that he was talking about. And you may think I'm being unkind today. Well, you may think anything you like. Our Lord said, beware of false prophets. And I care for the souls of men. And I have to be faithful to the word of God. You see, the false prophet, he never disturbs. He never makes you feel uncomfortable. And how does it show itself in practice? Well, I'll tell you. There's an absence of Bible doctrine. They never discuss the doctrines of the Word of God. And when they do, Bible doctrine is talked about in a vague and a general way. The false prophet, he never talks about the holiness of God and the holy requirements of God. Nor does he talk about the justice of God, nor the wrath of God. But he does talk a lot about the love of God. Now, enjoy the love of God, friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I love that truth. But you see, you gotta be balanced. God's love is not a sick sentimentality like we have today. God's love is balanced by his wrath and his justice and his righteousness, his holiness and his truth. And to just talk about the love of God is not to talk about the God of the New Testament, nor the God of the Old Testament, for that matter. You see, to conceal the truth of the wrath of God is as reprehensible and as damnable as to proclaim another heresy. If I proclaimed heresy, it's damnable. My friends, if I conceal truth, it's likewise. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets. You see, the false prophet, he never emphasizes the final judgment and the eternal destiny of the lost. And the false prophet does not know the meaning of the cross. He never tells anybody the meaning of the cross. What really took place there, that Christ died as a substitute for sinners. God demands the wages of sin is death. And if you want to pay for your sins, friends, it's going to be eternal death. But the good news of the gospel is that when Christ died on the cross, he dies as a substitute for everyone that will ever believe on him. He died as our substitute. And God took our sins and laid them on Christ. And under the judgment of a holy God, he died. And he rendered full satisfaction to all the demands of divine holiness, so that when a person cries out from the heart, Lord, I believe, I trust the Savior, God says, that person's righteous. For to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, this is the message of the cross, and oh, how important it is. Now there's one thing that the false prophet never emphasizes, the necessity to enter in the straight gate. Our Lord says, enter. You may know all about the gate, but unless you enter, you're still on the outside. Oh, my friend, have you entered in? Very quickly, in closing, I want to say three things about the characteristics of false prophets. Number one, they offer an easy salvation and an easy way of life. You can have the best of both worlds. Our Lord doesn't say that. It's what you'd like to hear if you're not saved, but it's not the truth. And that's characteristic of them. Second, they discourage self-examination. The Bible says examine yourself. The Word of God says that we're to examine our own soul, whether we're in the faith. The false prophet said, oh, you should just look to Jesus. You know, he says it so nice. That's true. We should look unto Jesus. But I tell you, we should look unto him as a substitute for sinners, who died in our place, who endured the wrath of God. But we must look at ourselves. The Bible encourages us to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. It does. The third thing, if a man claims to be a Christian, we should simply regard him as a brother, and we should sweetly walk together arm in arm. You see, that's what the false prophet says. He cries out with what is known as the universal fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. I'm not ready to hook arms with the devil, nor with his child, and claim that he's the Lord's. My friend, if you're not the Lord's, you're not his. But the nice part about it, he invites you to be. He says, enter in at the straight gate. Have you entered in? Our Lord said, forget what preachers say. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets. Beloved, I know this has not been an easy message to listen to. But I'm honest, I'm truthful, and I trust I'm faithful. If you haven't entered in, you're on the outside. And you need to come. Our Lord says, come. How do I enter in? Well, you don't need to come forward. You don't need to go backward. Just as you are, wherever you are, you look away to the person of Christ. And you confess him as Lord and Savior. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And from your heart you cry out, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need the salvation that's in the Lord. And we have the blessed promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not call? If you call, let us know that you called, and we're going to rejoice with you. Now let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we bow before you. Oh, deliver us, our Father, from the deception of the false prophets. Expose us just as we are to the Word of God and to the faithfulness of thy dear Son, who said, beware of false prophets. They come unto you in sheep's clothing. Help us, O God, to take your Word and use your Word as the final authority. It is your Word that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's your Word that says, enter in at the straight gate. And we pray, O God, that everyone in this meeting, under the sound of my voice, if they've never entered in, that today they'll enter in, swing the heart door open, and cry out, Lord, I believe, I trust you as my own. Upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, dismiss us and send us forth with a new joy in our hearts for thine abounding grace which caused us to hear and believe the truth of thy dear Son. Upon any that have not believed, we ask you to accompany them. May they never forget that they need to enter in at the straight gate, and that the door of entrance is our Lord himself, who says, come. So, Father, we commend this company to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.